Blog Talk Radio.
Love those vibrations. Good morning. My name is Michael Wolf. Welcome to the Sunday edition of The New Scenes. Today is the 24th of April, 2016. What a pleasure to be with you today. We are exploring the practicality of a mystery revealing. And what is that mystery revealed? The mouth. And how the mouth connects and how it drives the experience that we call living life. And if you're new to the New Essenes, please do go to our website, empoweringnow.com. Check out the blog section, and you can find a link to our ebook, the New Essenes ebook. And if you've been with us before, if you're listening to us in the archives, thanks for being here. We love you very much. As we begin, please meet us on page 3. And after we do the ritual opening, we'll check in with our family. Welcome to the New Essenes, a gathering of ordinary people practicing deep introspection as a way to come to know ourselves and to solve everyday problems. Our inquiry is based on the idea that the word is alive and that language is where our power lives. Communication is not what is said and done, but the result of what is said and done. By joining in, engaging, and coming back, we increasingly benefit from the distilled essence of an ultimate method of inquiry, authored by Mahalene Louie and known as the Path of XPR, that inquiry is radical, as it is based on sacred geometry. Each time we honestly engage in this learning, the cosmos rejoices. Each time we participate in a meeting, we renew the understanding that there is only one of us. We thereby increase our capacity to love what is and to sustain the sense of enough. All right. Wow. Good morning. How are we doing, everybody, today? Love to hear your voice to check in with a feeling word.
This is Verena. I'm feeling brilliant. Great to be here.
Good to be with you, V.
Hey, Michael, Verena, and family. This is Emilio, and I am feeling invigorated, and it's like a fall day with a breeze blowing in the middle of April, and it feels awesome.
Mm-hmm, nice. You transmitted it, Emilio. I felt it. That's awesome. And good morning, area code 281. Your phone line's open if you'd like to check in. All right, and you're welcome to maintain silence. And Maha, how are you doing today?
Oh, I'm happy. I'm just being a happy camper this morning. And it just feels good to be happy. It just feels good. I like it.
Thanks, Maha, for being with us and everybody. Yes, the reading today of our ritual introduction touched me with the word gathering, and it evoked an image of a gathering that is open. In other words, a lot of times when I've thought of the term community in the past, there's typically this sense of separation at some level where the community gathers and it's just the community and those that are not part of the community are not in the community. And what struck me today is how the gathering occurs, how what it is that keeps me coming back and keeps me coming into the gathering of myself, and to gather the fragments that I have left in, you know, past relationships and past projections and, you know, and future concerns, and to gather together is really another way to look at the great work. So that touched me this morning. Anybody else have any resonance with our ritual reading that touched you today?
The word each time that for some reason that struck me this time, but each time we participate, each time we honestly engage. And so I was hearing and feeling it as occasions to honestly engage and participate. And in that process, there's a renewal. And so it says to me, if I stay engaged and I continue to participate, there's going to be a renewal. And so that's what I'm feeling. And it's a serious encouragement to just stay engaged and continue to inquire into me. There's going to be a renewal.
This is Verena.
Go.
And it's kind of interesting. On my screen, the word where is highlighted for whatever reason. And so it's part of our inquiry is based on the idea that the word is alive and that language is where our power lies. And for someone who's been looking out there a long time, power, it's kind of interesting that the where is bringing it back home.
Yeah, I heard that too today, Verena. The it's like the house where the power lives. The house, the place where it lives, is in language. And it goes back to an editing session Maha and I were doing recently on this topic. And the idea that language is so much viewed as an abstraction, it's viewed as a label. And is it really the language that's the issue, or is it the I that uses the language that provides the distinction between, you know, speaking with power and not having the power to have that which I say I want to have in life? So I felt that also. All right, beautiful. Well, we have a very relevant, deep, and provocative conversation today. We're talking as an extension to what we've been looking at in our ebook. By the way, Maha, did you have any other comments that you wanted to make?
No. I'm still happy over here.
Good. Good. Well,
cool.
Just as a quick review, I'm going to make some comments without reading all of page 4 because it begins to anchor, you know, what is all of this coded data that shows up in this ebook. And I'm going to do my best to make it very simple and to provide a construct for what we're talking about today. The basic construct is that all spiritual teachings actually have a very simple bottom line. There's really two ways that I can come to a sense of enough in whatever quote-unquote problem I have in life. And this book looks at the idea through the lens of what we've learned, spiritual masters that have walked our planet across all religions, across all traditions, whether that's Christianity, Judaism, whether that is Buddhism or Hinduism, or whether it is, you know, Mother Teresa. The idea comes down to two principles. If I have an issue, I can do an inquiry. And if I do a good job with that inquiry, I will always come to the same place. It's the ego, the lower self, that has a problem with what is. Now, that idea of inquiry, if I do it well, will lead me to surrender. And that's really the idea of peace. When I surrender and drop the fight against life, I have a much better chance of being effective in whatever construct that may be, whether it's family, whether it's my health, whether it's in my relationships, my intimate relationships, or whether it's career. If I'm open to the voice, of my authentic heart-centered intuition, guess what? I'm a better leader in life. And so this page 4 looks at the hypothesis, building off what Verena offered. There is a nature tongue, and it existed before space and time. And what that code does, and there's a number of programs we recorded on this topic that you can go back to the archives and listen to, is it connects a understanding of the first word of the Torah, the book of Genesis in this case, that can be understood in one way, which is the way the whole collective has understood it, as in the beginning, God created. And that in the beginning connects us to a sense of time, unconscious time. And when I am empowering the now, in other words, my language is connected to the heart, free of the agendas of ego. I am present. The word is being spoken through me, not by me. And that's what this code helps us to understand. In a very practical way, the six elements that connect to a voice, which is a screech when I'm into ignorance, my mind is split, my soul is lost, my body is into pain, my heart is broken, and my spirit feels forsaken. These are the 6 days of what are termed as ignorance, because I've simply forgotten or ignored who I am. And when I'm into knowledge, I can hear my voice. It's resonating with the great quantum field of energy, the symbolic realm, that has me know spiritually there's only one of us. Therein I hear my heart. Therein I abide and do it at the level of physicality. My soul is pure, and my mind is no longer split. So these are the 6 days that are decoded through this massive piece of work. Thanks again, Maha, for all that you do and continue to do to bring forward and anchor this material. And that really connects us to where we are in our ebook, which is looking at an important question. Would you like for your voice to find a trust and a hearing? And yes is my answer to that question. And that's what introduced our topic, which is the mouth chakra. Historically misunderstood and or ignored out of the mystical understanding of religion and basically mysticism across the planet. And what XPR, this path that we are discussing, brings forward is a way to relate to that mouth so that my eating, speaking, and kissing can come through me and not by me. So I'm going to pause, have you guys comment before we look at page 29 today.
I loved everything you said. It was beautifully presented. In terms of the power of language, I would add that the words that I use create the world in which I live. Like, for example, if I say life is tough, then I've created a world that is difficult. If I say I'm happy to be me, I created a world that is friendly. So my words directly construct my world. And so when we look at the mythology called the Bible, and it says that the world was created in 6 days, what it really means is the word was created in 6 days. And the geometry that is on page 4 is what that looks like, the 6 day, the seed of any belief. And so in matters of exploring consciousness, many of us now know that our beliefs, specifically the collective beliefs, are what are to be investigated if we want to have a life And the way that we conduct our inquiry, our investigation, is through this geometry that is the decoding of the Bible. It's not the world, it is the Word. And so when we have those lines of colors, it's like looking at any word and understanding it 6 days. It's six, and as you pointed out, Michael, the Word of knowledge. How is it built? And today we're going to look at two other words. So that's what I wanted to add to what you described.
So true. Yeah, I mean, and the outcome of that, in other words, the brilliance that is afforded out of recognizing these realms is the ability to surrender at the end of it, because what happens is I have then the sense of these realms, these 6 days of communication synergizing. That's been my own sense of it. A whole lot less attachment to the shame and guilt and fear and sadness from all of the quote-unquote errors, but an ability to say, oh, okay, that's the coding of the shadow of my ignorance, and now allow me to choose again. Emilio, Verena, what touched you guys? Or anything you want to add?
Let's add an amen to all that's been said, and specifically one of the latter comments, the words I create, the words I use create the world in which I live. It brings a whole new meaning to be careful what you ask for, because at some level, those words are doing it, and they're very powerful. So yeah, that's very powerful. It also, when I look at this, you know, this fractal here, I remember reading something in the New Testament that it said something like, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And yet, when I look at being in love and at the level of consciousness and knowledge, that I don't start at the level of mind, I end at the level of mind. And so being transformed by the renewing of my mind comes from really knowing that I can go in the depths of spirit and voice, come back to spirit, heart, body, soul, and then mind. So it just ties some other things together for me, and I'm looking forward to where we're headed.
Beauty. So, Maha, would you like to be our voice today and walk us through the 29 and connect it for us?
Sure. I'd love to. So the first thing that I see at the top of the page is how XDR is an experience. And so we've talked a lot thus far, and how else could we give a context to where we're going to go? But today, and as much as we can, we like to bring our mysticism to be practical. Like, in other words, how can that help me to pay the bills, or better, the health of my body, or have more authentic relationships. That's really what I love about being a mystic, is the practicality of it, not at all the airy. Fair enough, it's opposite to that for me. So this page is an invitation, one of us, and I know that there's an anonymous friend. Feel absolutely comfortable in the silence and or speak. It's completely up to you. And those of you that may listen to this recording, we're going to do a process here and see if you can apply it to yourself. Like, take your own beliefs and follow us. So XPR experience has XDR built in it, truly. And the other thing that we're looking at is an image. So, Emilio, would catch us up with what happened between the image on page 28 and how it moved to the image on page 29.
Certainly. The last time we were together, we were looking at the diagrams of Ox Chakra and looking at the Western Tree of Life, the Eastern Tree of Life, and XPR Tree and Love on page 28. And really focusing in on the balance between those and how the rung was not present on the Eastern Tree in light of the position between the throat and the third eye, and the rung then being the mouth chakra. So what we see on page 29 is that interspersed or on top of one another, that brings really a true picture of what we're actually talking about here, which is the XPR Tree and Love, that's integrating what we know from both Eastern and Western, highlighting the mouth chakra and giving its significance as portrayed here.
Beautiful. Thank you, Emilio. So if we look at this drawing, this icon in the middle, and again, I'm just going to give a few things so that we could go into the experiential of it. That icon is called the Flower of Life. It's one of the oldest symbols in existence, sacred geometry. It's found on the five continents. It's called the Flower of Life. And as demonstrated here, it perfectly hosts the Tree of Life, which is the entirety of the five books of Moses. This is the goal of the five books, is to get us to actually embody our own realness. So the colored spheres are the Tree of Life. The black spheres are the Tree of Knowledge of Good and Evil. The Tree of Life, whether in Hindu or in Hebrew mysticism, is exactly the same. There's a crown at the top. There's a root at the bottom. So if you follow here, the crown is green. The third eye is the red spheres. The mouth is the black. The throat is Asia. The heart is Asia. The solar plexus is blue. So is the sex chakra, and then the root chakra. And what I just said is written as a line in a fractal called the heart chakra, because basically, if you look at the heart chakra, it is the exact center. It is right smack in the middle of the flower. It balances above and below, right and left, or good and evil, male and female. It's just exact center. So from there, we can occupy other centers. But one thing that is interesting that happens is that, just like what you said, Emilio, the mouth flew off the tree. And what that means is we're in an either-or consciousness. We're either parts of the have-nots and stuck in what mysticism calls the three lower worlds, whether in Hinduism or Judaism. Incidentally, today is the day where Jews celebrate their exodus out of Egypt. It really happens on the morning after the second night. So Egypt, should you wonder, are those three lower worlds. When I am separated from what you were speaking about, Michael, being one with reality, one with God, one with the will of the divine. And if we're separated, then somehow our voice can't be heard. It's like we can't find the words or even the silence to convey what needs to be conveyed. So the mouth, this black line here, is the key to move into the promised land. When I come to know myself beyond judgment, beyond this is good, this is evil, which is what the knowledge of good and evil, the key word is and, is about, is to drop judgment, then somehow I am able to be with what is. And my words are much more authentic, as is my voice. So that sense of moving from language, in other words, from the third eye, where the language is downloaded, where we see something, and then go into the throat and go into the navel and then really embody it, the root. That is called the divine order of creation. It's part of so many workshops, from the law of attraction to so many works have been built on that exact order of creation, simply because it is the order of nature, and it's existed for thousands and thousands of years. So Isaiah 43:7 speaks of it. And Verena, would you be willing to read that quote? And you may
certainly
be on mute.
Yeah, I was. Isaiah 43:7 delineates the divine order of creation, quote, "Everyone that is called by my name and whom I have created for my glory, I have formed him. Yes, I have made him," end quote.
Beautiful. So we're going to see what, you know, Isaiah and all those prophets, they were a little bit, I mean, they were so mystical that sometimes they were mystifying. So let's really bring some sense on what that means and come to another version of us, the one that lives in the promised land, and get some level of freedom. Let's really do Passover here. So who would like to play?
I'll play.
All right. So would you please pick a belief? Pick a limiting belief. Anyone. It can be a collective belief, it can be one or yours. Same anyway.
I'm thinking one that comes to mind is something that's been really plaguing at me. There shouldn't be so much killing and violence of teenagers, of young people to young people. I mean, it's just...
Okay, so can we make it simpler and say there should not be killing among teenagers?
That's perfect. Thank
how
you.
Can you simplify it? You don't.
Teenagers shouldn't be killing each other.
Okay, perfect. Teenagers shouldn't be killing each other. Okay. So, again, as Emilio is going to this inquiry, pick your own belief and do your own work with it, okay? So teenagers should not be killing each other. So the first question is, okay, is that true?
Well,
Or in the school in which you work, have you noticed that maybe teenagers do kill each other?
I'm noticing that. I'm seeing a lot of it. So I guess that brings it to a point where it is a lie that because it's happening.
Okay. Okay. So you know that in reality, teenagers do kill each other. Okay?
Okay.
And so reality is another name for God, right?
Right.
So in God's world, teenagers do kill each other. And then your ego or your opinion is how you hurt yourself. And let's make that clear. So how does that belief create a lower reality? So in other words, how does that belief separate you from the promised land? Quote unquote, from the third eye open.
Well, it keeps me locked in and stuck there because that's what I end up seeing based on the belief that I'm holding on to. I stay stuck.
And you see the no good, right?
Right.
Your attention, your observer of reality is no longer having the full picture. The only thing you see is this is no good.
Exactly.
Which, of course, at the level of the third eye, there's nothing no good. There's only beauty.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
So, or divine order, you could speak it that way, however you want to speak it. So that's how that creates a you that is stuck below, okay? So now let's move from the azure of air, the mental belief. See how that affects your emotions. So when you attach to teenagers should not be killing each other. This is wrong. What sort of God places teenagers on this planet to kill each other? So what are you now feeling? What emotions come to you?
There's some sadness. There is some frustration because I don't see where I can do anything about it. There's some anger because the belief says that there's such a waste of life. So there's some rage, the anger, the sadness, frustration is there.
Okay. So let's just take a survey here and go around. If you, when you attach to the belief teenagers should not be killing each other, what emotions are you feeling?
Well, I've mixed emotions, certainly anger, sadness, you know, frustration, inability to do something about it, effect a change. I definitely get caught up in it.
Okay. And Michael?
Yeah, certainly. And I actually invited the belief, seem to hold that belief, but when I do, what I do notice is very quickly thereafter, I do feel the sadness. It's like, you know, being a young teenager and watching the blood come out of his or her chest or head. I mean, I feel the sadness. I feel the sadness of the violence.
Yeah. Yeah, I did too. Anyone else would like to share what you're experiencing in the space, maybe not when you don't have it, but in the space that you have that belief that teenagers should not be killing each other? Anybody else would like to share? So most of us, you know, when we're talking of feeling sadness and feeling frustration and feeling anger and feeling mixed emotion and powerlessness and more sadness. Most of us actually are resisting to feel those emotions, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's the important distinction. Yeah, I mean, if I resist feeling sadness, you know, then that's much worse than just sitting down and crying and just feeling it fully.
Yeah. Yeah. And guess what? The reason we're resisting is simply because we still don't have the knowledge of good and evil. Sadness is evil. Sadness is bad. Anger is bad. You're not supposed to have those emotions. Powerlessness is bad. You know, so that's why we resist. That's what resistance comes in, is because of a simple judgment. This is bad. And again, there's so much depth in the fact that both Hindu and the Hebrew mysticism have eclipsed the knowledge, because just like in Sanskrit, for example, the heart chakra is called anahata. That's the Sanskrit word for the heart chakra. And what it means is unhurt. So when I am in my heart, I have no perception of being hurt whatsoever. And another example would be ajna, the name of the third eye in Sanskrit. And ajna means the command center. So what am I going to command? Am I going to see a wonderful world or not? Because that is what is going to command me to go under or to remain into an awake perspective. So whether in the Hebrew mysticism or Hindu mysticism, those chakras, those spheres, have names. And the name of the sphere, the chakra that is so clearly in between, and it is, if you check the Tree of Life on the internet, you will see that there's a chamber, a room, a sphere. It's not expanded as we do here to the right and the left, but it is there. And the rabbis say, well, it's here and not here. And that which is there is called knowledge. And it is the exact same word in the Bible when it speaks of the Tree of Life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil that are in the midst of the garden. It's also the same word which is used when Adam knew his wife. Because when we have a sexual experience, when the man seizes, when I have an orgasm, I drop the idea that I am a woman, that I am a body, that I am a belief. That's actually what's orgasmic about it, is that there's no more mind. So that knowledge of good and evil is how I have a chance to stop resisting the indoctrination that each of us have received, which is anger is not acceptable. Men should not cry. Hide your tears behind a smile. It's not okay to be afraid. It's no good to be lonely or alone. Big confusion in between those two words. So, and we're not even talking about hatred, the very hatred that is at the basis of our killing each other. That is completely a forbidden emotion. So we've looked at how a belief creates a reality. Okay? So I have the belief my back shouldn't hurt. I have created the reality of an invalidated person. we're going to look at how emotions form something into being. So, Emilio, when you are resisting sadness, frustration, anger, and this whole thing being a waste of life, what do you form into being? What do you picture? What is the shape that shows up for you?
In this particular situation, I form not a prejudice or a different view of many young people. What forms is literally seeing them as trouble, seeing them as potential violators, not necessarily victims, just seeing them that way.
Yes. So that's you know, like how quantum science speaks of where the observer effect, where we either see the wave or the particle, right?
Right.
So you could either see a happy teenager or form them into demonic teenagers, and the form that you're attaching to is demonic teenagers, right?
Well, this is Michael. Yeah, on this, I apologize to
Debbie. No,
go ahead.
Go ahead.
Now,
Michael, go ahead, and then Emilio will continue.
Please.
Go ahead.
Now, I was feeling into the idea of forming, and you know, it's a subtle distinction because we're not talking about the material realm here. We're talking about the emotional realm. And if I think about how emotions really, they build a river of thought, so to speak. So the thought, belief is there. And then as I hold that belief over time, it is as if I'm playing with clay that's still fungible. And I start to generate a stream where the river starts to flow. And that's what happens with the myelin sheath in our body. And I'm thinking about it in terms of how thoughts then become electromagnetic, electrical magnetic, and how thought then will begin to flow like a river. And these emotions, if we go back to the movie, What the Bleep Do We Know, it's clear that, you know, in that scenario and what I know about life is, emotions have a tendency to follow patterns, and that pattern of emotional feeling then is very forming. It is a much different distinction than the word making, the idea of forming, and that's what I wanted to share my felt sense of.
That's
yeah.
Awesome. Thanks, Michael.
Yeah, Well, and as you were speaking, and since I'm looking at emotion and emotion associated with feeling and feeling associated with water, so I'm thinking about this element of water now. And so there's literally a gas or a mist, there's a liquid flowing, and there's ice. And so what's happening is that now that I'm looking at this belief that I've held to, which is a lie that I'm attached to. And then, so it's moved from just being a mist to everything to a liquid that's flowing to more hardened, frozen, literally. And so what the feeling is almost as if it's frozen. What I've formed is a block of, like, ice. That's what, so I'm visualizing formed as a block.
Beautiful. Beauty, beauty, beauty. What about you, V? How does that, what forms and transforms in you?
I don't have a comment at this moment.
Okay. Beautiful. So, emotions form. An interesting concept. So now, Emilio, once you resist sadness once you're in that space of resisted sadness, frustration, and anger. Then what do you do? What are your actions? What actions do you engage in?
Well, I tend to flip into an either or. I either when I see a teenager, I go into the let me teach you something, let me share something with you so that you don't go in that route and avoid trouble, or I avoid them and continue to hold that part of that they're going to be trouble, and that you need alternatives, you need positive things to do with your life, to be engaged in, and without those things. So I go into a judgment. What happens is I now go into a judgment about, based on my own limited perception, about whether this particular teenager is going to be one of those, can I save them or spare them from it, or whether they already gone. My judgment now creeps in harder.
Got it. So, however, the action I heard you engaging is like either pushing or pulling, to just keep it simple.
Yeah.
Either
yeah.
you're in their face to give them something that they may or not require, or you're like going away.
Yes.
Okay. Now, whether it is push or pull, there is a manifestation, there is a making that comes out of that action. So what does that make? What does that manifest for you to either push or pull?
What does that action make? I suppose it makes more of the same. It just it perpetuates.
You know, I have the image of a teenager that wants to kill you now.
Yeah.
It's just a joke. But okay. So wait, Maha, this is Raina. What's coming to me is I'm also picturing a holding of the breath or raising of the blood pressure. Got it. Which could, you know, certainly that could bring on agita and have a killing effect on me or you, you know, whoever's going into this spin. Great. So what I'm hearing you say is that it creates a stressed body.
Yeah, because if I'm
it
thinking
increases
that the person's
the stress of the body. Sorry,
yep.
You were saying.
Yep. No, I'm just saying if I'm already thinking, oh, that person's already far gone, and I'm blowing them off, I'm also blowing off a part of me at that moment too, because I've shut down, obviously, because, you know, forget them.
Yeah.
And I push away, and I am holding my breath because I'm still kind of waiting to see them do something bad to say, see, I was right to stay away from them.
Exactly. Beauty. Okay, so we then come to the end of this experience and investigation. And but before you do, or as we do, let's look at, so you have to believe that teenagers should not be killing each other. And again, if you were to listen to this, just do the same process with your own belief. Okay. It is likely that a limiting belief will create sadness, loneliness, shame, fear, anger, hatred. Just see what it does in you and whether you also come into a push-pull and what that creates in your body and manifests in your body and maybe in the quote-unquote world. But for now, just teenagers should not be killing each other. That's really your belief. It belongs to you, Emilio, out of the ocean and the sky of beliefs that are available, then you just chose to focus on this one. It's your belief.
Right.
Okay? So, granted that it is yours and that you can pick it up at any time, for one moment, let go of it. Just for a second, for a few seconds. Just let it be. Okay? And imagine yourself being in your school and seeing teenagers killing each other and not seeing anything wrong with it, not having the thought that this should not be happening. Then now, what is it that you would feel without that belief?
Well, my first inclination is that I would feel nothing, and then I would feel a sense of relief because everything is going to plan according to plan. It's okay because it's what should be. Yeah, it's what is.
Yeah. Excellent. So sense of relief. Great. And now when you are released from your own Egypt, right?
Right.
Then do you go into the same push pull, or what are your actions like?
The action is to just travel lightly and notice what you notice. It's just, there is no push pull.
And therefore, if there's no misuse of power, whether in a push or a pull, then what you're manifesting is likely to be harmonious to the good of all. Would you agree to that?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So to be able to shift the belief, teenagers should not be killing each other, and actually have that belief let go of you. Because you can't say, I don't want that belief anymore, go away. You have the belief is something just like language is alive, so is a belief. And as Michael described brilliantly, an emotion has a form. A belief occupies a space. An emotion has a form. It has a shape inside us. So Isaiah already knew that. I mean, the guy was amazing. But anyway, back to our exploration, to have a limiting belief let go of us, we must understand it. In other words, we must go in the knowledge of good and evil and then come into the red sphere, which happens to be named Bina in Hebrew for understanding. And so now we're going to come to understanding up in the third eye. And hear and see what the heart, the one heart that beats in the same way in each of you, in each of us, is saying. And we're going to really come to truth with that, with the vision that is behind the judgment that you spoke. So, teenagers should not be killing each other. Allow me to ask you this. Would you act if only in theory that there's only one of us, one heart, one language, one story of pain?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Okay. All right. So therefore, when you call teenagers, you're really speaking about you, right?
Yes.
Okay. So say the exact same sentence and substitute to teenager an I. So instead of teenagers should not be killing each other, up in your third eye, both E-Y-E and letter I, and read it again with just an I.
I should not be killing me.
Yes. I should not be killing the divided part of me, that part and that part, right?
Yes.
I should not be killing me. And I'm hearing another, I should not be killing teenagers.
Yeah, how about that?
Yeah. So how is your judgment killing both yourself and teenagers? How do you do it?
How do I do it with teenagers is I do the reverse by perpetuating into that reality on the limiting belief. How I do it with myself is I deny the truth and keep myself separated from myself without accepting the divided parts of me that's caught up in that, to not accept both good and evil, to not understand. I kill myself by not understanding.
Yes. And then in the space where I think that teenagers should not be killing each other, you take completely the right to learn a lesson about death. And you're killing that and them, that potential to learn that lesson.
Yeah.
Okay. So now going back to the words of Isaiah, everyone that is called by my name, I, Emilio, I should not be killing it myself and teenager. Everyone is called by my name. Everything that I look at has my name on it because there's only one of us. And that is the message that we're to hear. On that note, I'd like to acknowledge an extraordinary and beautiful teacher of truth. Her name is Byron Katie. She came up with those four questions. Is it true? Can you really know that? What would you be with that question? What comes to you out of that belief? And not turn it around. Her process is called the work. And I remember her saying that when she woke up, she had like a major download of every tradition. And what XPR is humbly bringing is simply to tie back all the teachings of humanity to one language of nature that may very well be Hebrew, that belongs to all of us like music and mathematics do, and allow us to come out of our own Egypt. So I'm complete, Michael, if you would lead us to the end of this session.
Certainly, Maha. Yeah, I'm struck with the I'm going back to the title of this page, XPR as Experience. And, you know, how many times I've been through Byron Katie's work to really, you know, tie it back to what you just offered. The grace and the simplicity of all of the times that I've done the work and how that has kept me coming back to myself, back to myself, back to myself. And as much as I've done that, what I must say is that the realm of sustainability has invited for me to have a deeper understanding of that pattern. Well, yeah, and, you know, I can't just make the belief go away. At least that has not been my experience that I can say, you know, I'm going to use my free will to make my negative belief go away. But what's happened is as I've understood how the belief came, how it formed, and literally what the result is, the word literal becomes new. I can get into the language of my heart. And that's really where the payoff is. I mean, the love that flows without these understandings is, or with these understandings, is so amplified. So I'm touched, moved, and inspired. I'm grateful to share this space with you guys. My key word right now is grace. How was your experience, Emilio? And man, thank you for being the voice today. I could feel the authenticity of where you shared from, and I also felt a big opening for you and for me as you did what you did for us today, Emilio. It takes such courage to be authentic, and you are a warrior of the heart, and I know that you love these children, and I sense that this will amplify your own showing up out of what you're willing to do. So how was it for you, Emilio?
Well, it was amazing. What it does is it ties me back to, you know, what Ma was saying about everything is tied back to one language of nature. And even when I look at this particular belief, that I can look at any particular belief. This is just one, but I can look at any limiting belief, like he shouldn't have lied. This shouldn't have happened. He shouldn't have died. There should be more. There should be less. Any limiting belief, and work through that process and literally be able to hear within my heart and reverse that and take ownership for that, to see that the words I use create the world in which I live. And I mean, it's just, so it's just beautiful. My key word would be understanding.
Thank you, Emilio. And Verena, how was your experience today? What did you pick up anew?
Well, I'm, again, very blessed that Emilio offered an example, because I could really hear the truth of it myself. And I'm doing some immediate work myself in an area that's been very painful. And I can see, wow, when I get to the other side and I have those moments, like, OMG. And that is a moment of grace. And I do feel a relief. So I'm feeling lightened by the experience, and I'm really grateful to be here. Thank you.
Beauty, beauty. 281, you're still with us. Your line's open. You're welcome to say a word, and you're welcome to maintain silence. Go ahead.
Oh, this is Janet. I've been quiet since I had dogs barking, and my husband's about to leave for out of town, so it's a little crazy over here. But I really enjoyed today, and I truly do believe that we create our experience with our words, and so this is goes along with the same thing, that we can attach whatever meaning we want to words, and we can create a good or a bad experience.
Exactly, Janet. It's enlightening to see that. So the question is, what am I putting into motion? Thank you for being with us today. Please do keep coming back. You are welcome. And Maha, how was your experience today?
Well, it was rich. It felt like, first of all, it felt like it's the first time that I really get this, like that fully. I really like my name as Emilio. I mean, like how I kill teenagers and I kill my potential and I kill you. I really, it touched me to see that. Thank you, Emilio, for your work. I loved what you said about the emotion and the path, how it comes into form. That was really wonderful. Verena, your heart always touched me. And the fact that you joined us, Janet, I mean, truly, I'm so happy to be together with you again. And absolutely, I'll just text you with to receive our newsletter if you're so interested. Anyway, big love, everyone. That's my...
Hey, everybody.
Yes.
Yep.
Amen.
Everyone have an awesome day. Good rest of the Sunday. Yeah. Shalom lacha. Peace go with you. Mm-hmm.
Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.